Well, praise the Lord. We're going this morning to head back into our teachings. We went somewhat off course last week, but God, that was the Holy Spirit wanted to minister in an area. If you'll see that wasn't under, I didn't put that underneath Sunday's, messages. I put it in the single message column because really it wasn't directly tied to our series and teaching. But, we're ministering this morning. We're going back over to manifestations of God. And I don't know how long we're going to be here on this. God's really been just showing me all kind of stuff and talking about these things because we need an expectation for a move of God. We need to have that. We're not going to have what we're not expecting and what we're not talking. We're not going to have it. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this, and then I heard Charles Capp say it and a bunch of other ones say it. You have in life what you've been talking. You get what you say. That's what Jesus says. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to have what you believe. You can believe the right thing and saying the wrong thing. In fact, Jesus spoke to Kenneth Hagin about that and gave him a teaching on the areas dealing with Mark 11:23. He told him, he said, my people don't have as much problem in what they believe. It's what they're saying. And I find people do that. I see this all the time with people. People have beliefs. But that's not what they're talking. They're talking something else. You know, they're talking other things. People are talking about, you know, people want good things, but are talking that bad things are going to happen. Do it all the time. You know, well, things are getting bad in the nation. I don't surprise the sinners going under. What shocks me is all the Christians going under. But it's their blab mouths. They won't shut up. They keep talking the curse. They keep talking the bad stuff instead of talking what the Word says about them. And you got to speak what the Word says about us. Who we are, what we have, what God's given to us. A lot of people want a lot of things from God, but we don't get things from God because we want them. See, it's number one. The biggest thing is Billy. You know, Mike talked about dealing with the mind. Looking back, he said, wake up in the morning. He said, you think you got problems? Look back over how God moved you. Israel's whole defeat, they would never shut up about what was going on in front of them. And God kept saying, you got to remember what I did for you. Constantly took them back. What I did for you. See, God's brought people through a lot of things, blessed people's lives, and they get into trouble just a little bit over here, have a problem, and you'd think God never helped them. I've had people come to me complaining about problems. You know, and one of the things that always shocks me, people have had great successes in a short period of time have something happen, and you'd think God, they have totally forgotten a month ago the good thing God did to them. They've already, no, all I can think of is what's in before me. All I can think of what's right here, right now. That's all I can do, and that's what I'm going to talk about. We got to bypass that. God wants to move. We're talking because God's great desire. The Lord spoke to me here, reminded me some things this morning about things He told me in the past of His great desire for manifesting Himself for His people. You know, the Lord spoke to me back years ago. He said, the main thing, the number one thing, He said, I want for my people. He said, people get born again. He said, filled with the Holy Ghost. But He said, the number one thing I want for my people, I want them to be healed. When He said that to me, I never even thought again after that maybe God won't heal. Well, maybe this time, maybe He's trying to hold it off. Maybe He's trying to, I never thought about to get. He said that was His number one thing He wanted to do. He said, because my people get sick, He said, so they can't do my will. He said, they're sick. They can't do my will. They can't do, if I call them to do something, they can't do it. They're sick. He said, and then the devil steals all their money through medical stuff. Look at our nation. If everybody in America would get healed and not go to a doctor for a year, you know how much money this nation would have? We could pay off our debt. It's killing us. God said, number one, He wants you well. You got to get that in yourself. Talk that. Don't ever talk any other stuff. I don't care what you heard the doctor say. God wants me well. That's His number one agenda is He wants me well. Jesus went to the cross so I could be healed. That's why He went. He was raised from the dead for my justification, to justify my healing. My healing is a just act. I don't know, maybe what yours is. That's mine. See, this is my confession. You can hear me say it and say amen, but if it ain't your confession, it ain't no amen to you. Amen. It ain't an amen to you. It's an amen to me. Because I said it for me. I can't say it for you. I can just tell you, you can say it. It's yours. Say it till you believe it. God wants me well. God wants anything happening in this earth. Just give up. How must God look down on the earth and all this stuff with COVID and things going on? You think God's pleased with all this stuff? God's looking. I want to heal. I want to heal. That's what I want to do. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. We're going to look at the scriptures. I'm going to prove it to you where God placed miracles and healings. His view of them, not the view of the church, not even the Spirit-filled church. It's not their view. It's only written in the Bible, and we're word people. We want to look at it because we have been dealing on this subject. We haven't got out of the 12th chapter. Today we might get out of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But we're going to look at something. What God has done me is laying a foundation. God's desire that every Christian, every spiritual, especially, number one, God wants every Christian spirit-filled. There is not a letter written to a church in the New Testament that they did not baptize the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. He did not write to the Baptists in there. Now, that don't mean a Baptist can't learn a thing to learn, but he was writing to spirit-filled churches. Number one, he was writing to a church, and we found out the last time I taught on this, we talked about the body of Christ. This is the spiritual body, and we found this out, you know, in our reading. In 1 Corinthians 12:11 said this, "But by one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." These nine manifestations of the Spirit here are divided. Now, they are for this. They are for ministry. We're talking about ministry. These operate dealing with ministry. If you're not doing anything, if you're not ministering anybody or doing anything, you shouldn't expect any of this to happen. But you should be. You should be. These gifts are given to minister to people. They are not given to you. I don't have manifestations of the Spirit. My teaching gift's not for me. It's me to share the word with others. It's for you guys. It ain't for me. Thank God I can be blessed because I obey God and do and yield to it. But it's not for me, the gift. The gift's for you. And see, people need to understand it. We've even lost track of that in the church world. Too many ministers think that the gift's for them. It's to glorify them and make them something. You need to get out of that thing. Get out of that thing that you want gifts of the Spirit so people notice you. They've seen enough of you. They've had enough of you. They want to see something else. They want to see God. People long for the supernatural that the church won't give them. They long for it. They desire it. And it's God's great longing to manifest in a manner supernaturally among people that people can see that there is a God. That's what He wants. And see, we need that. We need to get in our minds that the supernatural is not something we're trying to work hard to get happen. It is in God's inclination, it's in His nature to do miracles. That's what He is. God, the Bible says God is love. God doesn't have love. He don't have any of it. He is it. That's what He is. He is love. That's His nature. Love's nature is to demonstrate glory. That's what it is. It's the nature of God. To have a conception of God, well, you know, some reason He don't want to answer your prayer. Now, anybody preaching so dumb, there is just something wrong with that person's mind. They have no idea the nature of God. They have no idea the nature of love. Is there anybody here, now you have children, that your children got sick and you just didn't want them well for nothing? Anybody like that here? Well, the church generally believes that's God, the one that loves and put His love in our heart so we could kill our kids. We're going to be like our daddy. God tells us to be good while He's bad. See, we got to change the way we think. This God can do anything. God can't do anything outside of His word, or He's a liar. He's a liar. If God operates in any way, God must always operate under the motivation of love. Always. He cannot operate any other way. It'll always be under love. Now that doesn't, love just overlooks everything. Under love, He set this, a rule in place. You're going to reap what you sow. You know what? You can be a nice person, but think dumb and say dumb things and end up with dumb things. But never God's fault. It's what you chose to do. Now, I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. The rest of you people have just been so sweet and everything else. And just, I was the guy that made the mistakes. Okay, well, I'll tell you about my mistakes, all right? So I've made mistakes in that. But we did. We need to understand. God set rules in place because, number one, God's not going to force you to walk in love. He ain't going to force you to do it. But you will reap the reward of what you do. You will. Whether you walk in the Spirit or you walk in the flesh, whichever one, you're going to have that reward. So what we want to do is, number one, most people walk where they walk because their mouth has directed them to it. Their mouth has guided them to what they're doing. They have said things till they acted on those things, till they've done them. And now they got the saying and the acting on it. It's a good chance fruit's coming. And so you want to get over there where you're talking, you're in line with God and what you're saying in your thinking. There needs to be things that are broken and changed in us. Now, everybody in the body of Christ, everyone in the body of Christ, these nine gifts of the Spirit for ministry, and you need to keep on, as we go on and look at this, because it's talking about ministry. People take a lot of these things that the scriptures and that stuff, and pull them out of context and say things that this is not what Paul was teaching. Paul was teaching about being spiritual. He was talking about being the spiritual body of Christ, not that we're not the physical body of Christ. If you haven't noticed, we're not. We're the spiritual body. Just like this morning, we have communion. Those communion elements represent something spiritual, not physical, something spiritual. Although, if we act in faith with what is spiritual, we can have blessings that manifest into the physical realm. Why? Because we want to change the physical. Nobody's believing for you aren't believing for something if you're satisfied the way that it is. We believe for things because we don't want. Faith is to use to change things. That's what faith's about. Faith is about changing things. Faith is not about things maintaining the same. It's changing things. You don't need to believe for nothing you already have. You don't need to believe for what you got. If I'm happy with what I got, I ain't got a confession for anything. But I ain't ever happy. The Lord told me, even financially, He said, you never become happy where you're at. Never become happy where you're at. Don't do that. See, many people are happy. They reach a place, we have a pretty good life. Don't worry, it'll change. You better want something else, because I guarantee you, need will come. And if you're happy with the money you have, why don't you believe in getting money for somebody else or do something? Instead of being self-centered, selfish. See, the New Testament talks about we work so we have to give to those in need. Oh, the average Spirit-filled person is working for a living. Bible don't ever tell you to do that. But that's what we do. We're Americans. Changing the way we think. Now, we weren't read through the part. See, the Holy Spirit distributes these to each part of the body. And it went on to tell where Paul wrote. He opened, in fact, he opened it up in making in the 12th chapter in verse 12. He said, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. See, the body of Christ. Now, when he's going to talk about a physical body, he's using that as an example for us as the spiritual body of Christ. And this spiritual body, he is not talking here about any of your natural talents in life, what you're naturally able to be talented. He's talking about these nine gifts of the Spirit that manifest through the church. These nine gifts. He's not talking about, oh, I can do this or I'm really good at that. That is not what any of this discussion is about. This is about the body of Christ and the manifestation of these gifts. That every member in the body, the Holy Spirit's going to distribute gifts to people. And our need is for this. If parts don't operate in gifts, what need do I have of it? What need does the body have for parts that don't do anything? See, you need to, I don't know why, when I got born again, when I heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I heard the things teaching about these, I thought that that stuff would just operate through me. I just thought that was the way it's supposed to be. See, most people, the average spiritual Christian has no inclination at all of the supernatural. They'll think about, say, I'd like to have it, but they don't do what the Bible says to get it. And they don't understand. This isn't an option. This is what the Bible said, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, see, some people say, well, the Holy Ghost doesn't talk to me about things. Has he been trying to manifest things through you and you've been ignoring him? He'll get to the point he won't talk to you. Amen. Till you start doing it. See, many people, you know, it's one of the things I believe has been a big key for me from hearing things of the Spirit, because that's my big key, is go over there, listen to the Holy Ghost, do what he says. See, I don't know Christianity without supernatural. Have no clue what it is. I lived and watched the people in it growing up. Christianity without spirituality. And you know what my end result was? 11 years old, I said, I'm done with this stuff. It's crazy. It is just religion, religious junk you go through. Ain't nobody getting blessed. Then walking around, people are supposed to be the good people, dying way early in their lives, and say God had a reason for killing them. And I'm thinking, well, I ain't ever going to be good. I live a long time if I ain't good. Because God's going to kill you if you're good. He's going to get you. You were good. Because the good die young. I remember hearing that. The good die young. I remember hearing church people say that. When people died, well, they say the good die young. We believe the Bible. The Bible is believed so little. The Bible is believed so little in the church world. It's astounding. Sometimes I get ashamed of myself when I get reading and saying, how on earth did we ever think this was so? Look what the Bible says. Oh my God. How did we ever get over here thinking that? What were we doing? See, we think if we make these religious statements that somehow it makes us spiritual. It don't. This growing up ain't always the easiest thing to do. But we're working at it. If you stay at it, God will grow you up. See, I found out this. If God's not involved in my growing up, I can't grow. It requires faith in Him to grow up. You're going to have to trust Him to take you further. You're going to have to trust Him. If you don't do that, you ain't gonna, you just stay at some plateau or just drop off or whatever. So you don't want to do that. Now what we want to look at, we're going to look at something because we're all supposed to operate in these gifts. And then the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we're going to start to look at another area that really the church has not walked in the light of and is not walking in the light of. The Holy Spirit, there's just certain areas of these things that the Holy Spirit really has emphasized to me. This is one of those he's emphasized to me, and hopefully today I'll get to preach it. But it's like there's things that, it's like, I think, well, are we going to go there this week? No, we're going to do this. But you keep talking about that. It's like going there. And here's one of the things now we want to look at, because you must become convinced that God wants you to operate in manifestations of the Spirit, of these nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, we haven't gone through the specific teaching on those. Because there's things that need to be answered. There's no use going over the specific teaching of them if you're not convinced that they're supposed to operate in you. If you still think you can just go on your life that they don't operate, ain't no point in teaching it. Ain't a bit of point talking about it. Not a point at all. You've got to be convinced that the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, Paul wrote that the Holy Spirit divides to each one in the body. Each one. So there is nobody who should be in the body of Christ, yet the majority of the body of Christ, I would say a good 75% at least, don't operate in these gifts. At least 75% of the body doesn't operate. Because they believe done away with. They got a done away with Bible. And I don't have a done away with. I believe my Bible is the same. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in the 1 Corinthians 12, listen in verse 27. Now, he's going to talk about the body. Now, listen to this. This is ministry. We are not talking here about, this is ministry. And we need to know, this is not natural talents. This is ministry he's talking about. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and your members individually. Remember, the individual members are supposed to have manifestations of the Spirit, as the Spirit wills. So you don't have a certain gift. This is just your gift. You have it. It's that these gifts operate as the Spirit wills. Now, he said, now listen, this is an interesting statement. Because if we go back over to Ephesians, Paul mentions what they call the fivefold ministry, and we looked at some of those things before, where there's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You have those gifts. But here Paul states something in a completely different manner, because now he's talking the body, about the body specifically. What he was writing before He was writing to Christians, really, about their spiritual development and growing up as Christians. Now, here he's talking about gifts and gifts in ministry. See, it's different. And he's going to say something specifically that has not been said before in Paul's writings. And these are things that the church ignores because they don't quite know what to do with these things. Because Paul goes on and says, and God has appointed in the church. This is Paul says, God has appointed these things in the church. He said, first he's appointed the apostle. The apostolic gift is the first appointed in the church. Their foundational gift. Now, this is very interesting because 90% of the church don't believe in the apostolic ministry. They don't believe in it. They believe only in pastors and evangelists and a teacher. That's the body of Christ. See, we wonder why we want moves of God without even understanding gifts. There's foundational gifts. The apostle, then he said, secondly, he put in the church prophets. Today, the first gift in the church is the pastor. That's right. People wonder why things ain't working. You don't change God's order. You don't change God's order. You're going to find out there's certain things and teachings and stuff that come along from people with apostolic ministries. You know, this is one thing. It's like we find out with, just like Ken Kasich. Ken Kasich has an apostolic ministry. And God uses him in foundational stuff. That's why he went over to Estonia. God used him. See, there's many times people we call missionaries. They ain't missionaries. They're apostles. God uses them and sends them to places, and they lay a foundation. See, he come along and he has been, I forget how many years he told me God's been giving his teachings dealing the areas of judgment and justice. He's writing a book now. I think it's going to be an encyclopedia when he's done. But you need to understand this. Well, the church don't know nothing about it. I can't go to any major ministry and get a good 50-minute sermon off of them on the subject because they don't know nothing. Because we've gone over to areas and we don't realize it has minimized people's faith to not understand. They don't know how God operates. They don't know how He works. And I forget how many years he says God's been working on him concerning this subject. I mean, he's been like 15 years or so God's been teaching him on this subject. And really, he sends him back to America. He sends him from Estonia to America to carry this message. And he said this, it's hard for people to take here. Why? When it goes to this area, the average Christian, spirit-filled Christian, is a baby. They know nothing about this area. They may have other areas they know about, but they're babies in this area because it isn't what's taught. People don't have any faith in anything they ain't taught. If you aren't taught it, you can't have faith in it. So, you know, people have only taught, well, you just believe, give God, no matter what's going on, you just believe God, give your money, you're good. That's going to work it. No, there's more to it than this. And especially if I have no fear on the areas of dealing with the areas of judgment and justice. If anything we want in our country now is justice. And the reason we don't have it is because there's no justice in the church. The church world is full of sin and everything else. And you don't deal with that. Everybody's going to heaven. We're all going to be nice. It's all going to work out good. And they know nothing about judgment and justice. We need justice. We don't have a justice system in our nation because there's not a justice system in the church. Somebody can come in the church world and lie, cheat, and steal money off people and everything else. They won't even throw them out of church today. There's no justice. If you're a person who does other people in and does things to other people, they'll spend all their time trying to take care of you and trying to get you to be a nice person. And the person they're doing it to, they ignore completely. That's why, because there's no justice. You read over under David. David believed in justice. God's going to destroy the wicked. No, today we try to bless the wicked. Let's pray for the wicked and ask God to bless them. Like Ken Kasich said, I don't pray God to bless. He said, Biden. I didn't ask God to bless him. He said, do you want him blessed in what he's doing? He said, I ask God to reveal himself to him, show himself, give him some wisdom, do his stuff. But he said, I don't ask him to bless him. See, the church, you know, I'm convinced this. I think God's been listening to us. I'm serious. I think God's been listening to our stupid mouths. Bless him, Lord. Lord, I want him to duck when he walks out the door in the morning. Till he gets smart. He needs to be ducking. He needs to look behind his back a lot. Not for a person. It's the devil's coming down after him. That's different preaching, ain't it? Well, okay, we better get over here this thing. But we won't talk about what's first. We have first the apostles, second the prophet, the thirdly in the church's teaching. Now, the apostle and the prophet both are either teachers or preachers or do both. They both in ministry do that. But specifically people, to the church, the number one thing that you need as a Christian is not preaching. You need teaching. That's the number one thing to the church. This is the great lacking. See, when the church started quitting having services and only have Sunday services, all people get, and they go in, and now it's how little we can keep them there and how short of a teaching or anything. And most of the teaching's all candy. Just, you go to church, get your teeth rot, and go home and throw up. That's what you get. That's church. Because it ain't going to do nothing for you all week. We need to understand this. It requires, just like with the scriptures, one thing. If I sit down and look at all the money that I have spent and all the time that I've spent over the years since I've been born again, I have invested to learn the Word of God. And I have this all the time. I will have people call me, people from outside the church. They call, they don't spend all this investment, and they want to have what I have. They ain't getting it. You ain't getting, I can give you information, but it's going to cost you to work. I listen to teachers, but I couldn't sit back and not study just because I listened to you. To me, when I'd hear somebody teach a subject and it would speak to me, I'd start looking at it. I'd start going that subject. I'm just going to tell you, and I know this because the Holy Spirit told me. Over the years, there's ones you came along and said, that's really a good sermon, and you never even looked at it again. You never even or studied a thing about it. See, that really spoke to me. So you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, I'm being serious. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If God speaks to you in something, that's something you need to get your nose into. And if you ain't, that's your problem. Amen. What speaks to you, you go back to. That's why I'm so repetitive. If I'm sitting down, if I'm listening to a series of teaching and it speaks to me, I'll listen to that stuff for months on end. Months on end. I will take those things. Let it just keep talking to me. If I'm reading a book and it's talking to me, I just read that book and read that book. I don't put it down till it gets silent. Till I got it. I got it. What it's saying. See, if you need a new one all the time, forget it. You ain't ever growing up. Ain't happening. What good is it? See, we have this today in our educational system. Kids who haven't learned, we're still setting them on to the next grade, to the next grade, the next grade. I mean, ask Sherry about it. How about it? They ain't learning a thing. But they send them the next grade. The church is making people believe they can do that and they're going to have a good godly life. It ain't happening. That don't work. Folks, that stuff don't work. It requires time. It requires effort. It requires things. People today, they want everything free. You know, let's set up a thing here so we can get other people's stuff and we can have it, use it, what they paid for, and, you know, and I can just, you know, let's set up a lending library. Say, why don't you just buy the books yourself? You know, you go to college, do they tell them, get a lending library and you don't buy your books? And Christians are cheap and are lazy. Best investments I ever... See, one of the things I think God's always blessed me financially because I would spend the money that I need for me to grow. If you ain't doing that, you can give all money to all the other ministries you want. You can go to all their... Tell them to pray for you night and day. You ain't going anywhere till you invest. Well, you think God's worth enough to have you give Him your money to learn. That you'll invest into it. I have invested more money. Going to paid to go to meetings. Travel. This... Doing stuff. I have spent tons and tons of money over the years. I don't know how much it is I have spent, but it's been a lot of money. while people were having houses and lands, I ain't got nothing against it. But if you're doing that at neglect of your own spiritual, you're missing it. Or is the kingdom worth investing? Is it worth enough? And I just want you to get, is it worth, what is it worth to you? What's your health really worth to you? What's it worth? I have so much material and stuff, and especially over the area of teaching and stuff to listen to. I have stuff I haven't even got to listen to yet. I have so much stuff that I tell you what, it'll at least be into the 500th year of the millennium, probably. It's just to listen to, but it, the things of God, they're just, see, what is your treasure? If your treasure is the things of God, if that's your treasure, having stuff in this life is the easiest thing in the world to come into. Now, you won't come into them as fast as you just spend all your time chasing those things. Oh, you'll have them, but then when you, things ain't working, you'll be knocking on the pastor door, pray for me, like it's going to do anything. Pray for me. No, we need to cast the devil out of you, get you sit down, shut up, listen. That's what we need to do. See, I learned that's what I needed to do. That you do. It's one of the things, I was always a study of the word, but there's one thing as I learned about going to school. You know, you go to school, and then the Lord sent me to Bible school. It's number one is the discipline of learning. You need to have that. I was good at that to begin with, but God said, but I went to Bible school and I found out the majority of the students there, that was their problem. Undisciplined people. Been Christians filled with the Spirit talking in tongues and just undisciplined. I remember sitting in one class, this girl sitting next to me at her desk, and all she did was doodle the whole time during class. And every time we had an exam and I'd ace the exam, and she said, I don't know how you do it. I looked at her and said, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. I said, you ain't never listened to class. Why would you expect to get a good grade? What on earth would you expect out of it? But you know what? See, she's been raised by some good Christian family that really loves her and didn't tell her, hey, stupid, you're going to sit down and learn this thing. You ain't doodling, or you're going to get your own house. You're going to go get a job. We ain't sending you to college. We're sending you to dumb school. Because that's what you are. Till you learn something. Folks, this stuff might sound harsh. I'm tired of looking around the Christian world and seeing all the stuff that's going on and don't see a move of God in them. Doesn't matter what God has given me. It's what I can attain only matters. Don't matter. He's given us all. He's given us the moon and the stars. He's given us all to it. It's all given to us. But what can I get a hold of? I don't know. Maybe some people are brighter than me. Some things took me a while to get a hold of. And I had to work at it. I had to work at it to get a hold of it. It took me time. I'll just say this. I will bet that most of you here... In my first year, 3 years of Christianity, God was dealing with me in the areas of healing. I bet I spent more time on the subject of healing and studying and everything else than most of you have done since you've been a Christian and found out about it. And since that time, I've never treated the subject like I knew it. Because I'm going to tell you what, I watch the people who get to think they know. And they're going to run into a brick wall somewhere, and what's going to happen? They're going to find out they really didn't know it that well. Amen. See, this is why. This is the thing. We're living in this earth, and the devil ain't no good. Amen. And just because you're a Christian, I believe this, you become more a target. Amen. You need to understand that. You got a bullseye on your back. Amen. And you need to live like you got a bullseye on your back. If you're going to walk and live in the Word, you know, lots of times the people, if you ain't going to live in the Word, He'll let you alone because He already owns you. But if you're going to try to follow the Word, I found out I went with a lot of stuff and I started to realize why I did, why things were happening. He wants to shut it up. Amen. He don't want me preaching. You know, He wants to have the upstairs service. Look, they ain't bad people, but they ain't preaching anything to bring life. We need to understand this. I ain't against them. Dear Lord. But see, we need to understand this. People today are living lives that are just, they're not thinking. It's like, Lester Summerall said, there's two things Christians don't do. They don't think or read thick books. They don't do. He said, there's the two things, and they don't. Now, I'm sure most of you, you go to a doctor and say, I'm looking for the guy that went once a week and had a 30-minute, a teaching once a week, and he did that for 10 years. Would you operate on me, please? I find it's the same thing with anything spiritual. Anything to know things. You take any of you from jobs that you're on or things, the skills that you had to learn over the years, the stuff you need to learn. You went and worked on a job day after day, 8 hours a day working on it, doing a job, learning skills, doing things. We think Christianity is, why on earth would we think the Christian life would be this cakewalk? We're supposed to walk by faith. What? A half an hour a day? Come on. Now let me throw something out here that I think is really good, because we have these three gifts and people really like that. The third is the teacher. Now this is really remarkable, because he says in verse 28, after that, miracles. Where do we put miracles in the church? I've often thought about this, because it's something that Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, and you guys have, I've read it to you many times, the 1950 vision. Jesus said to him, you now entered the time of the miraculous. The church doesn't bring miracles to the forefront. We don't. Now, why should we expect them? We think there's other things that are more important. God's saying in the church, the ministry in the church, these ministry gifts that minister to us and teach us, after that, teaching should lead people to believe for the miraculous. See, he goes over, now think about it, out of the gifts that are mentioned, the nine gifts, the first one that the Holy Spirit mentions here is miracles. He didn't put tongues and interpretation on the top, did he? Miracles. Threw it right out there on the top. But see, there's low expectation. We have expectation for a little bit. We should have, the church world back when the charismatic renewal went and teachers started then and things were going, there's a move of the Spirit. That died out, and it died out because of the teaching that started. Men became happy with crowds. They became happy with money coming in. They become happy. And over time, you start to see the level of teaching started dropping and dropping, getting lower, lower, lower. See, when I came into the kingdom, it was sort of like, and you've heard me talk about this, but it's like when I was a drinker, you'd go into a bar. And I don't know how they do it today, but they would have, they behind the bar would set the different types of liquor. They would have all that sitting there, and there would be like, three, four rows of it, usually about three rows of it sitting in the back there. And the cheap stuff was on the first row. And then the stuff that was all right, the stuff that wasn't kerosene, was on the next row. And then they had what they called top shelf. Now that was expensive stuff. But it didn't burn your tonsils out when you drank it, You didn't go, and the guy next to you falls off his stool on the floor. Didn't do that. But the whole thing was people wanted the top shelf. Somebody buy drinks for somebody and you buy the top shelf, my words, you were their buddy, they were your buddy for life. I mean, you got him something all the time. But the whole thing, they were shooting. When I noticed that in the kingdom. Over the years, I watched this. When I came in the kingdom, we were shooting for the top shelf, and now the church only, and it was Spirit-filled, only shoots for the bottom shelf. It's get by Christianity. We just get to sit at the bar, we get to get a little drunk and throw up on our shoes, and go home. Have a bad night's sleep and get up and go back tomorrow. Why? Nobody has expectations. Now, if you tell a person to shoot for the top and they look, well, I ain't there yet, they get offended. You can't ever get to the top unless it's preached to you. Amen. You will never, ever get to the top, because you will think what you hear is what it is. You got to understand, there's a lot more than you know. There's a lot more than I know. And I want to hear those things that I need to go. Goals should be set for more than where you are. If you aren't willing to live this week above what you did last week and take a step more, you'll never grow in faith. You ain't going to grow in faith at all till you step further than you've been walking. It's like in the areas of giving. You ain't going to ever believe God for $1 million when you can't give 100. You ain't got, how are you going to believe Him for $1 million when you think if you lose $100, you're not going to make it? It's in everything is the same way. Everything. You're always going to have to step beyond your place of comfort. Faith is not about your comfort. Faith will make you uncomfortable. Faith will make you uncomfortable. I know. I've been there so many times. God will speak to me and say, you need to do this. I mean, last year the Lord spoke to me about giving money away and I got uncomfortable. My inner man's like, yeah, let's do that. But my mind and my body's saying, well, you know, that's a lot of giving away. Yeah, God's good, but is He that good? See, it drives you into the areas of fear. You'll find the same way with health. You'll be afraid to take certain, well, if I do that, might make things worse. Because the doctor said. If you really believe that, I mean, don't take a step beyond it because it will get worse. But you got to learn to live out of your heart. You got to come to the place and say, praise God, I'm going to take a step beyond here. So I always think about Kenneth Hagin. He was healed as a young brother. He was 16 years old, healed on a bed. I mean, you have to think about this. 16 years old. And the Lord got him into line to actually believe what Mark 11, 23 and 24 said. So the Lord spoke to him about it. And he said, showed him what he needed to believe and receive it. He said, I see that. He said, so I believe I received my healing. And he made this confession of what he believed. Well, you know what? God wasn't moved by his confession. Because God said to him, God said, you're believing it. You're right. You're believing the right thing now. And he said, then this is what the Lord said. 16-year-old boy has had more ailments than any of you sitting here have had in your life. A 16-year-old boy. See, when I heard these things to me, I said, man, I ain't going to be no slacker. I can't get over this thing of a 16. I ain't let no 16-year-old boy outdo me. I'm just sorry, but Lord said to him, well, he said, what is a healed person? He said, laying in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, America they are. But they'll pay you to stay there. Now, keep right. God said, would you be offended? God said that. Will you let God talk to you like that? I'm going to tell you, God is always going to move you to actions. Don't ask Him anything. If you don't want to act, don't ask Him anything. Lots of people don't like what they hear. That's why. But see, God would not let him go till he acted in faith. And he said, he heard what the Lord said about it. So he started to struggle. Here he was. He was like paralyzed because of blood flow in his body. He's like paralyzed from his waist down. And he couldn't even move his arms real good. And so he's getting out of bed. And he said, I grabbed a hold of everything I could to the post of the bed, pulling myself out of that bed. See, most people, yeah, but what if I fall and hurt? What if I broke? I'm sure those thoughts went through his mind. But God said, we want miracles. Miracles don't come. Miracles do not come on this weak faith that people are doing today. It don't come. Miracles come by stepping out beyond. And he pulled himself out and he was standing. He said he could hardly feel his legs or feet. He said, I'm just holding myself as best I can with my arms on the bedpost. Well, see, he did his part. See, it never was his part to healing, but it's always his part to obey God. See, God's always going to show you to do something. God is not going to have you a talker, just a talker. Now, confession's wonderful. I'm just telling you, confession is wonderful. But God's not going to make you just a talker. You're going to have to be a doer. The doer is blessed, not the talker. Amen. The doer. And see, he did that. He wasn't being mean to him. He's getting to act on it. God is getting him to trust him. You never trusted till you got out of the place you are, that you're comfortable, you haven't trusted yet. See, we need, many people say, well, I'm believing something, but they're still hanging on to what they trust. That's what's dear to them. That's what, I can't leave that, because if I leave that, this is outside of my trust area. This, I have no comfort going there. Now, I don't know, but see, that's the way I learned faith, is stepping into the places I was uncomfortable. That's how I learned it. I can't teach you another way. If somebody has a better way, then go to them. If they have a better way that works, I don't have that way that works. This is the only one that I know. This is all I know. I can't teach you what I don't know. These people are, I've had people over the years tell me they were wrong. I was wrong. I got healed and they didn't. But I was wrong. You don't have to do that. I've learned over time of what works. And I learn over time of this. I can't trust my flesh. And I always can't trust what I see or read what other people say. I have to know the Word of God. And the Word of God says something. God threw out there miracles, and then He said gifts of healings. Then He said helps and administration. This is one of the things the Lord spoke to me about. He said one of the great problems today, He said administration is what's running the churches today. And He said, that's why nothing's happening. Administrations. Everybody wants organization. John G. Lake talked about the miracles of the move of God in Africa and South Africa when he was there. Powerful move of God. And he said the churches, he said in Europe and the United States, started sending their administrators over. And he said they organized God right out of the place. And the power of God left. And it was left with all these organized churches that had miracles that have nothing anymore. Today, it's all about organization. Means every loads of ministries, their organization means a lot more to them than the move of God. Because God ain't getting past their organization. He ain't getting past it. The gifts of the Spirit are not as... They want them as long as that gifts flow with their organization. We have entire bodies of Christ, but you know, you go to most churches today, they don't want manifestations of the gifts in there. They don't want you to operate nothing. They don't want nothing. We don't want nothing. We don't want nobody to use it. Your gift, we don't want any. You know, I don't want anybody to do anything more dynamic than me, you know. I'd hate to see one of them people out there that I'm so much better than they are and God demonstrates something through them. Oh my God. See, I want God to be able to manifest through you. I want that. We need it. I don't know how else to make the body work. If it's only the head has it and nothing goes down, what good is it? It's of no value. All it is just another learning experience about things you'll never use. You'll never have. You'll never deal with it. You'll never. What's the point of all of it? This is why people are sitting in the pews, don't do anything. Because they don't think they're supposed to do anything. You know? I come for the show. I come for the guy that does the stuff. No, you're supposed to have the stuff. You can put on a show. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost wants a show through you. See, you need it every day. See, and I'm just more and more convinced. You know, Darlene had a prayer last week for her. She wanted wisdom, and she sent me an email then. She said the next morning God gave her a piece of wisdom of what to do. Yes. See, you get what she got from praying what you ask for. You believe you're going to receive. That's what you get. You know, I had a thing where, you know, I just made a confession. There was a step thing made out of fiberglass, this wooden fiberglass. I wanted it for the back door of our place. And anyhow, because you don't have to take care of it. I like that. I don't like things you have to take care of. I think it's sort of stupid to do things you have to spend a lot of time taking care of. You just got to spend a lot of time taking care of it. Probably wasn't that good anyhow. So I don't want to spend a lot of time taking care of things. I have more important things to do with my life. When I get time off or something, I don't want to have to spend my time taking care of my toys. I want to go away and get away from things. But anyhow, so I looked at what they were, and they were the things cost about $1,000 of what I wanted. I spent about $1,000 for them. But anyhow, so I sat around and I thought, so there was a lady over from us, and she moved into a place, and she was changing around with her things, and she had a deck that she had put on. She had one of those she wanted to get rid of. So I said to her about it. She said, this other guy, he wanted it. He wanted it. But I told her, I said, because she sort of made it. I think it's what the guy was doing, he was building her deck, but he was trying to get it off of her free. So I told her how much it was worth. Because you ain't going to lie to people. I said, you know, I said, one thing is, you, I said, if he wants it, I said, you can sell it to him. I said, I have no problem with that. I said, I just ask you to. I said, if you sell. But I said, you need to make money off that thing. I said, that thing's valuable. I said, just, and I realized the guy was sort of, wasn't letting her know what this thing was worth. So I told him. Well, I put aside, I said, well, the Lord, I want to get one of those. And I just said this. I believe, I said, Lord, you're going to bring something. You're going to bring it to me. You'll bring something to me. You're going to do this. You're going to bring this thing to me. And so I just didn't bother a whole lot with it. I didn't bother. I would drive past and see that thing still sitting out there. The guy never took it, never moved it. And I think he had it sitting in her yard just killing her grass. I thought, you know, this guy, what's he up to with her? And so I didn't think anything of it. Well, finally she came over and said to me, she said, do you want that thing? She said, he ain't going to take it. And I told her, I said, yeah, I said, you tell me what you want for it and I'll pay it. And she gave me a great price on the thing. I mean, really a good price on it. It was worth more. And she didn't, because I even told her concerning these things and what they are new and that kind of stuff. And so she turned around and she sold to me really cheap. Well, you know, I just made a confession. You've got to bring it to me. So, and he brought it. So that thing came. And then I had to move this big heavy thing. So I'm thinking, see, I need wisdom. Because you need three or four people to pick this thing up. But it's heavy, man. I went out there and messing with it. It's like, ooh, man. You know, I don't need a hernia. So I was thinking, you know, when you're trying to get a bunch of people out here to do it, you got this hot weather. And I'm thinking, I want to do this thing. So my neighbor down the street said to me, he had this big hand truck. I have a small one. But I didn't know about it, if that would really work, because this thing's big and it's odd, you know, and it's trying to find the middle place on it that you could balance this thing. So I was going to go down there and get his big hand. I thought if I put two hand trucks under, probably try to lean over, pull this thing, maybe make it work. And I was walking down through. Now, I'd asked the Lord, I said, before I went to bed the night before, I said, Lord, give me wisdom what to do to get that thing up here. We don't do a bunch of messing around. I said, I don't want to spend a bunch of time waiting for people and doing all this stuff. I just want to move that up here. So I'm walking down the neighbor's house, which right down, I'm walking down toward his place, and just came up inside of me. Just get your hand truck and put it under and pull it over. I thought, come on. I thought that really, and I thought, well, that wasn't me thinking that. Because I was thinking that wouldn't work. And I went and got my little hand truck, pulled it under there, tilted that thing back and pulled it right over to my place and set it in place. God's wisdom. See, I asked night for it, but God, give me wisdom on what to do. There's an answer to this. And there it was. You know what? Seemed dumb to me to get that little hand truck that I had and put it up in there and pull it over. But it worked just fine. And I pulled it over by myself and leveled the thing out and set it up. So I went down to the neighbor guy later on in the day and he said, did you move that over already? I said, yeah. I said, I moved over by myself. But see, the wisdom of God, see, this is why we need manifestations of the Spirit, just like that. Many Christians live and die and ignore that stuff all the time. They never ask wisdom. They never ask. God gives you what you ask for. If you don't ask, you ain't getting it. If you just do what everybody else does and what everybody else says you need to do, you know, sometimes you need to think, I think, man, it's got to be easier than getting a bunch of people together and carrying that thing down here. It's got to be something better than that. You know, these last days, hot outside, you just sweat enough and just moving around. And with me, I don't perspire, I sweat. And some people may perspire, I don't. Man, I sweat. I can soak a shirt. I go inside, it's like I've been in the pool. Completely through, all my clothing's wet. And so I thought, I didn't want to put anybody else through that either. So praise God, but God gives wisdom. This is why we need manifestations. God's has to become real to you. That's why God would say to Israel, look back at the things that I did for you to remind you, because what happened? People lose God being real to them. And then they're trying to, when they need a miracle, they have no ability to believe for a miracle because they have not focused outside of the extraordinary. You know, a miracle is something that takes place out of the ordinary course of nature. That's a miracle. If it ain't out the ordinary course of nature, it ain't a miracle. See, anything man can do or man can come up with his machines and make stuff to do stuff, they follow the laws and principles in this earth that allow them to do that. But when you thought things, you know, like opening the Red Sea, you can't quite do that one. They ain't figured out a machine to make that happen yet. They have different, we go in the scriptures and look at the things. Nobody's been able to just make the earth and everything stop. The solar system quit moving. Has anybody done that lately? That is a total 100% impossibility naturally. You can't. There's no possible way to do that. No possible way to do that. You see, believing for things. Here we find God put miracles. The church, He throws it. You get taught. Now, next, it's miracles. This is what I want to do. See, it is the time for the miraculous. It's the time. But we got to change the way we think. We're just thinking that God just do these nice things that are ordinary. No, God, let's do some things that are just so unordinary. Things that are so outside. That's what we want to get to. Things that are very, very far outside the ordinary. Hallelujah. Thank God for every little thing He does. But there's one thing. If you can't get little things done, you will not get big things done. Just that simple. You know, I realized this when I walked over and grabbed the end of that thing and picked it up and I got her off the ground, but I just decided we're setting this down very quickly. We're going to put this thing up because I realized, you know, I can't now decide I'm going to carry that thing over. I'm going to have to eat a lot more biscuits and do a lot more working out on some weights to get myself pulling that thing over there. See, this is what people do. People are spiritually today trying to move a 1,000-pound thing that they only have 100 pounds worth of weight. Trying to pull that thing where you gotta build yourself to where you can lift that. Getting yourself into that thinking. That's why you want to continually grow in faith. I realize there's certain things that I faced in life that if I would have faced younger in my Christian walk, God would have definitely had to do it by mercy because I would have not had been able to have the faith. See, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin and in these areas. It's why I really feel bad. The Lord teaching me on these things and talking about these things, and He has shown me how the church hasn't put first things first. We're putting a lot of other things. We're putting what seems, see, when you talk about miracles, oh, we got to go over here and learn about this other stuff. God said, that's the next thing in line. That's where we should have went. Because what we do, we look like men do. Men say, well, you know, that don't make sense. We wouldn't do it that way. We wouldn't jump way over to miracle. God says, jump over to miracle. Let's jump over there. Let's get over there and look at the miracle. Because people need something miraculous. People are in situations, and there's nothing going to change their life unless something supernatural just blows whatever up, whatever's going on in their life. And we need to know that. We get the thing over there. See, this is one of the things. Thank God for what doctors can do. But there's so much they can't do. You know, they give us medications to keep a disease under control. They don't ever fix it. Just keep taking the medication. The medications ain't healing it. It's just keeping it from going any further. And sometimes that don't even really work well. I mean, over time. And so you've got to come to the place, say, hold it. No. This thing has to get, I'm trusting God in this thing. You've got to come to the place that I need God. I need the miracle. Gifts of healings. Well, the next thing in line, He says, gifts of healings. Amazing. No, that's too far out there. That shouldn't be number 5 on the list. Man, we got to get administrations up there. We got to get that up on the front there because we got to keep those apostles and prophets in line. We got to set administrators up. Tell them what they need to do. You find this out. Any denomination, I don't care what they were, they started off, many started off very good. I mean, really good Ted started off. And as soon as they got organized, they became lame. Stop moves of God. Why? Because you can't trust the apostle and the prophet. They don't have enough American skill and didn't go to college enough to learn how to organize everything and make everything work. Because we'll only, most people in administration, they will only walk within the bounds of what natural law will take you. They don't always, they'll never go outside the, no, that term don't make any sense to do it that way. You go to people, you know, generally people that are very, very educated, and you talk about believing, having faith, you're a fool. Just general faith's a fool. You believe in something you can't see. You're a fool. You're crazy. You're weird. See, it's got so bad in our country. I mean, our government, they want to have the things of your faith doesn't mean anything in what you believe in the Word. If you believe, you know, homosexuality is wrong, we should pass laws and make you, force you to, you know, to follow. That's what they want to do. They want to force you to believe. Why? Because you're believing in a God you can't see, and we only believe in the God. America's God is the government. And I'm sorry, most conservatives, their God's only the government. That's it. It's what the government will do. See, we got to break this mold. I want this miracle guy. Hallelujah. I need the miracle man. I need him. Because I'm too limited. My vision is bigger than what I can do. If your vision is within the bounds of things that you can do, that ain't a vision. I go home and watch television. It don't amount to nothing. Your vision must be big. There's something you want to go to. What do you want to go to? Do you want to go to the supernatural? I'm in this. I've done this, man. I've said to the Lord, Lord, we ain't going to have a move, demonstrations, manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But we're not going to have it. I want to go home. I ain't going to stay here through this rot and listen to all this junk. I don't want to stand around teaching if ain't nothing going to work. I don't want to be here. I'm totally unhappy the way things are in the church world. There's too much happiness in the way it is. Biden ain't my problem. I'm my problem. My vision got to get bigger. I got to want more glory than what we have. Now he erred around and asked this question. Now he's talking, and remember, he's talking about ministry. This is not talking about natural talents. First of all, he said, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers? Now he's asking questions. Are they all? Now he's dealing, these are ministry gifts, and Jesus said over in Ephesians, Paul wrote and said, that God set those in the church, some. So not everybody stands in those gifts. Not everybody. Now also we're talking about these nine gifts of the Spirit in their manifestation as the Spirit wills. Now he says this, are all workers of miracles? Well, not everybody might have a working of miracle happen through them. But we sure want them in the body, don't we? We want them in demonstration. He said to all. Now listen to what he says here then. This is where people get, see, to all speak in tongues. And people say, well, see, everybody's not supposed to talk in tongues. He's talking about the ministry gift of tongues. This is the supernatural gift of tongues within, and people have interpretation. This is a ministry in the church. Not your natural tongues when you got every Christian get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. That's their personal language. But that's not their ministry to the church. This is why Paul in the 14th chapter tells them about its operation in the church. You know, many times, and I learned this over time, sometimes a person will speak a tongue out. And really, they're in the church, the atmosphere, and they speak a tongue. But that tongue isn't for interpretation for the body, because it's not for the edification. That tongue they spoke out was for themselves. And it was for their edification. See, sometimes you get unction of the Spirit. See, I do this when I pray. I'll pray in tongues sometimes, and all of a sudden interpretation comes to me, what I've been praying about. I have that happen. That's my personal life. That's not for the body of Christ. That's not like when I'm in church here, now the tongues of interpretation operate through me. Both of them. Now they have operated through me from the time I first got born again, they've operated through me. Tongues interpretation have operated through me. Now from a standpoint, a ministry gift. ministering that operates through me. That is a ministry gift that operations. That is not my own personal tongues. I don't give a tongues in church unless I get an unction to do it. I could at any time stand here and start talking in tongues. That's for my own personal edification. It ain't for the church. That's why Paul said, in the church, operating in tongues is done for the edification of the body. Ministry is always edification to the body. It is not about you personally. You can be blessed by it. Nothing wrong. But it's ministry. When it's for the body. That's why, you know, I'm careful. You could do things. See, people get out and start doing. There's groups doing that. They're getting out here and they're just tongues and interpreting everything and stuff. And it's a lot of carnal junk. It's not. It's a ministry gift. Now, there's some people, and understand about gifts, no matter what they are. People stand in different levels of different offices. And even in tongues and interpretation. Mom and Pop Goodwin, they were real good friends of Kenneth Hagin. Very spiritual people. Him and her, she would operate in tongues and he would interpret. And they had a powerful ministry in doing that. Amazing. Amazing what God would do through tongues and interpretation through those two. Operating. It was a ministry gift to the body of Christ. It was phenomenal how they would operate together. I often thought about, you know, you get out of line, one to the other in a service, and she gets a tongue and he interprets it. And the interpretation on the tongue was God scolding him for something that he did. But he interpreted. Would you? See, you're not into my interpretation. You don't know where it's going until as you're saying it. This is one thing that people have a hard time yielding to gifts because they won't yield to them unless they know everything's going on. Well, you ain't never going there. I speak in tongue. I come to interpretation. My mind might be over. Well, maybe it's about this. My mind gets overrunning the thing. But my mouth always goes another direction. In your mind, what it's going to be. So you don't know these things ahead of time. Even with prophecy. I might get it sometimes comes to me and just prophesying. It'll come to me. A word or something will come to me. A word just keeps going over and over. And until I say that word, then stuff starts coming out. But till I obey that, were you ever around a person and a certain word came to you, just a word, but you wouldn't say it? Yeah, well, you stopped a gift. And then you turned around and prayed for the person. Forget it. You wasted your time. God wanted to move and you wouldn't let him anyhow, so what's it do any good to pray? Oh, isn't this fun? We all done it. So get over yourself. I said, oh, poor old me, I've messed up. Well, just join the same club. You would be amazed how many times God would use you if you would just yield to those things. How many times you would be accurate in what you're doing. That's the thing that startled me. Because you have that thing at first. You think, boy, if I step into this, am I stepping into something I don't want to get on my shoes? And you think about that. You're thinking over in that area, but you step over there and it's like, man, it worked. Wow. When I was a young Christian, I used to get really blow my mind. God would have me do things or say something to somebody about something and it would work for him. I think, wow. Oh, amazing. You know, because you have it within yourself. You can become concerned about, you know, we're not trying to, we don't want to miss it. You don't want to. But don't be afraid the fact that you missed it. You know, I've just learned if you missed it, well, you missed it. And tell me, yeah, we missed it. So one of the things that's terribly bothered me and one of the things that has really hurt the move of the Spirit are all these ministers that prophesied and went public on the bit with Trump and didn't repent for it and stop and say, hey, we blew this thing. We missed it. I missed God. Wasn't God talking? None of them are saying that. And you know what? They stopped the Spirit of God from moving. Unrepentant, big-headed. They don't realize most people would be so glad to hear somebody because they think they become fearful. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be. So everybody shuts down. Everybody quits. And they're the cause of it. And then other ones keep saying they want to move a God. You're the dam in the river. What are you talking about? You want to move a God. If we can get rid of you, we can get her moved. See, those things hurt. They're hurting. And they hurt the people in the pew. See, you come on. You, I'll guarantee you'll do things sometimes and you'll miss it, but that's all right. That's learning. That's in life. We do things and did you ever try something that didn't work out? You thought it was a good idea. Well, did you go shoot yourself in the foot and say, well, I'm never doing another idea. Yeah, I get again. My words. We're never going to do that. We don't do that. And don't do it spiritually to yourself. Don't condemn yourself the fact that you miss it. Because we all do. Now he says, now what did he say this? And it'll help you understand this interpretation. I've heard people, and even Kenneth Hagin, make an interpretation on this scripture. And I was never settled in my spirit. He was right about what he said. I was never settled in my spirit. You know, see, I'm not going with somebody just because they say it. It's just in my spirit. I never could get right about, are these things, is what he's saying? Because this scripture says, but earnestly desire the best gift. And he said, and yet I show you a more excellent way. He says, desire earnestly. That word means to covet or to crave something. See, are we craving these, what he just got talking about, these gifts and manifestations, are we craving them? Well, I can tell by people's, you can tell by people's prayer lives and what they're praying for. People aren't hungry for this. Now, he said, for the best gifts. Now, Kenneth Hagin used to say this all the time. You say, well, the best gifts is whatever gift you need at the time. And it's like, that just never rang to me that was just it. Because here, he's talking about ministry and the ministry of the church, the best gifts. Well, he just listed down what's the best of what. You see, it's number one. If the church would go after and follow, listen to the prophets, to the apostle and prophets ministry and teaching, because those ministries, most of them all teach and preach the word, listen to them, we can get over to that other stuff. See, what we want is the miracles and those kind of things, the best gifts. But you're going to have to want the gifts that he said first that come in the church. And see, the church hasn't. The church, just because we might want certain gifts to operate, it's like Kenneth Hagin, I learned this from him, and it's proved out over the years. He went to a church, and the minister said to him, he said, for the last 2 years, we've been praying for a move of the Spirit, and praying for manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, for 2 years, he said, we've been having prayer meetings every week, praying for these things. And he said, if anything's changed, he said, I don't know it. And Kenneth Hagin said to him, well, are you teaching on them? And he said, well, no. Well, he said, people can't operate in what they don't know. See, we have this big idea that prayer just, gifts of the Spirit just come and operate because, you know, the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost working in me. Well, if you don't know nothing about it, how would you know it's Him working in you? How would you know what it was? See, there's things you can know about its operation and what it does. So, people must be taught. That's why we need the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher in the church. So people are instructed. People know. Do you ever think about it? You go over in the Mark 16th chapter, and Jesus said, you know, in my name, the old cast out devils, you go through this whole thing of what will happen. And then he said, what did they do? They went out and preached everywhere. He didn't say they went out and prayed everywhere. He didn't say they just went out everywhere and the gifts worked. He said they preached everywhere. The signs followed what? The signs followed the word, or they followed what was preached. This is why there's hardly any success in people. Just so-and-so asked for prayer that I know it worked, and we're praying for them, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing it. It doesn't do any good because we never give them the word. Their faith ain't involved in none of it. We're playing Mr. and Mrs. Spiritual. We're going to just make it happen. If they don't want to listen to the word, I just had this week, a person came on, I'm a person, you know, and they need this, and I tell about it that they won't listen to the area of the healing. What do you say to a person like that? I said, you just can't say something simple to them. They need to sit down and listen to teaching. And if they ain't willing to that, don't waste your time other than pray that God give them a spirit of wisdom and understanding. But I said, don't waste your time and try to minister healing to them. Don't bother. It is a waste of time. People that don't want to listen to the word, it's a waste of time. Well, I'm going to prove it to them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be Mr. or Mrs. Faith. I've seen people do that. Or they'll call me and ask me to do it. Oh, they do that. Had a guy wanted somebody raised from the dead, and he called me. If I would go raise the person from the dead. I told him, just forget it. You're dead already. you ain't got nothing going between your ears anyhow. I said, number one, God didn't tell me nothing about this thing of raising a person from the dead. He told you. Why don't you go do it? Well, that ended a short subject that they hang up quickly. You don't mess around long. It's for somebody else. God wants me to do something and I ain't doing it. You go do it. Hallelujah. That's good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. We're going to end there. And next week, if Lord willing, we're going to look over concerning love, because it goes over into this, and we want to understand of walking in love and ministry and manifestations of the Spirit. We want to get over into that because that's what it's talking about. Remember, we're reading these things. We have to use chapter and verse to find out where we're at. But there was not chapters and verses in these letters. The change did not go to it. He said, I'm going to show you a better way. He's talking about the gifts. He's just talking about gifts and many. I'm going to show you do a better way in ministry. That's what it's about. We're going to find out. That's what he was talking about. Ministry. The ministry of the church. And so, if we understand this with this love, we're going to look at things that he said about ministry, the benefit to others and the benefit to you. And we'll find that some people ain't benefited from it. Even though gifts may operate through you, you may not benefit at all. And one thing I do want you to get is this. Because God manifests gifts to you, that is no sign you're spiritual. You're just in the body. You need to understand that. God manifests gifts through carnal people all the time. In the body. Why? Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He, to whomever he will. I know it's true because he did for me. I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. God started manifesting gifts through me. I wasn't very spiritual. That's pretty, I didn't know a lot. Didn't know much at all. Gifts started operating through me a few months after, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, started operating through me right away. So that doesn't be spirituality. You don't ever measure, and you don't ever measure ministers' gifts that operate through them based upon their gifts that operate through them. Their demonstrations and manifestation of the Holy Ghost for people, not for them. God does it for the congregation or the body of Christ's sake. He does it. And to reaching the world, he does not do it for them. We have too much teaching. If you're really operating a lot of stuff, you're real spiritual. There's people who have learned a lot about how to yield to gifts, but they have lousy lives. We need to understand the difference. People follow people all the time that are pretty darn carnal. But because they have a lot of manifestations, man, they can get checks sent to them or anything. You get a lot of that. They think, boy, the person just, oh, yeah, boy, this is God. And they don't realize. You get followed things too close, you end up as carnal, messed up as they are because you get hooked to a wrong spirit. You people need to know how close you follow some. Thank God, manifestations through people, but they are not. Because they manifest things are no sign of spirituality. And you have to measure that with yourself. Just because God's using you, it ain't because you're so cute. And you're just so spiritual and you're just so wonderful. It's because he's so good and he wants to minister to people. And you know what? Seems sometime to me the Holy Spirit just get whoever he can that'll yield to him to get it done. It seems to me it operates that way sometimes. He's just looking for somebody and he finds a guy over here that he ain't my first choice, but we're going to use him because he'll yield to it. I find out sometimes it's easier for some carnal Christians to yield to things of spirit than the people consider themselves spiritual, go to church all the time and everything else, and it seems God can't get to move them at all. Man, they're like the rock of Gibraltar. They ain't going nowhere. They're going to sit there through all the storms on that chair, and that chair ain't getting moved. That's good preaching anyhow, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to have communion this morning. As we take communion this morning, I just want to get us over into things of the idea. We're all the body of Christ. Communion is really of us. We're sitting down. We're confirming the covenant. Confirm it within yourself. The body of Christ is a supernatural group of people. It's not a natural group of people with all just natural talents. We're a supernatural group. That's what the church is. The church ain't natural at all. I mean, the final redemption of the church is to become like Jesus, a glorified body. See, when we read the scriptures, we need to be very careful because people many times interpret scripture in the light of the way things are naturally and not spiritually. See, most people don't think of themselves. You know, when I read in Romans 8 and Paul said, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're in the Spirit. And I always wish these ministers always trying to get people into the Spirit. Well, why don't you get them confessing they are in the Spirit? They might end up there. Quit telling them they're not. It says, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, then you're in the Spirit. Do you confess that you're in the Spirit of Christ? Is the Spirit of Christ in you today? Then you're in the Spirit. Then, you know, I don't care if it seems like you're picking things up or not or what. Start talking like you're spiritual. Start not talking like you're a spiritual person. Don't talk like you're not. The Spirit of Christ is in you. You're born again. The same Spirit that raised, then he went on to say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will make alive your mortal body. Well, there's this. See, I'm not trying to get healing. The Holy Ghost done moved in and he's already working healing in me. Why am I chasing around for something? See, you get over thinking and right. Start talking in the right area. And you know what that is? That's being spiritual. Being spiritual is talking what the Bible says. Speaking, that's being spiritual. Acting like the Bible's true. People say, I believe the Bible's true. When are you going to act like it? What is that, right? Acting like it's true. Glory to God, we're acting like it's true today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like the old temple. We got to keep it hidden, you know. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. Glory to God. But this morning, though, I want to keep reminding that the Lord reminded me of that community today is that we're confirming the covenant that we're in. It's the covenant. God made a covenant through Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, fulfilled a covenant. And by the most, to me, it's like the most ludicrous thing. Through faith, because we believed on Jesus, it's just as we have verified this covenant with God that we made it. That's insane. See, that's hard to believe. Nobody would ever think that somebody would actually do something like that. Just believing. We believed on Jesus. And it's just as if the covenant was made. We carried out the covenant because of being in Christ. He identifies us as carrying out this covenant. And what a covenant we have. Under the law, they had to do all the law, whatever it said, to have the blessing. Got to do the whole thing. We have one covenant. We have one law that covers all laws. The law of love. So you ain't going to lie, cheat, and steal and do all that kind of stuff. If you walk in love, you don't do that to people. That's a fulfillment of the law. You and I have the law of love. Now, under this great covenant, this wonderful covenant we have, this glorious covenant, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Under the law of Moses, they had to have the blessing required them to do all this stuff. The day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you accepted the redemption from the law, the curse. You are no longer under it. See, you're no longer under that. See, we're no longer trying to get God to heal us. Healing is just what belongs to us, deliverance. See, the miracles belong to us. They're ours. They come into covenant. What good is it us go through the covenant thing today and those things don't belong to us? Then that's just a religious show. It doesn't mean, it has no meaning. That's why Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said the church is supposed to be healed by the communion table. Why? Confirming the covenant. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I ain't supposed to have this mess. It don't belong to me. Devil, you ain't putting this mess on me. I will not have it. It don't belong to me. When's the last time you told whatever sickness is, you don't belong to me. You're not mine. I refuse to have you. See, we don't treat things like they are. We treat things like religiously. No, sorry, this ain't mine. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm not redeemed to it. I'm redeemed from it. Every ugly thing, poverty, whatever it is, your need for finances or whatever, you have been redeemed from any kind of poverty, want, lack of any sort. You're redeemed from it. We're going to take the communion. They are a confirmation of this. See, it doesn't do us any good to take it if we don't believe what the covenant is. Wouldn't do a bit of good. We ain't doing this because, well, we, if I don't do this, God might not like me. Maybe I won't get to heaven. No, you'll get to heaven. All kind of crazy people are going to be in heaven. Don't worry. All kind of nutty people. They believed on Jesus and just squirrely as the day is long, and they're going to be in heaven. But I tell you, why don't we have the blessing while we're here? Let's believe the truth while we're here. And let's tell people what the truth is. See, signs follow the preaching of the word. Signs follow it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Redemption that's in Christ Jesus, it's ours. Father, we know this, that we are living in a world that's 180 degrees away from the direction that we're heading. And that's where we are. But Lord God, I totally, with no doubt in my heart, there are so many people that they realize the world system don't work. It is wrong. They know it. They know it. And Lord God, I believe you're opening their eyes. I believe you're opening their eyes to see and their ears to hear in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I want to thank you, Father. Father, our great desire is to be the supernatural church you designed us to be, in a supernatural people. But not just for us, is to help others become this and walk in this. Lord God, Lord, we don't want the church with the show from the front. We want the church with the show, the people. You are showing yourself through them. You're manifesting in every day life as they walk out in their life. You're revealing your glory. You're showing yourself through them, Lord God. Lord, we don't want the gifts hidden in a confined space. We don't want it confined to some building somewhere, or some auditorium somewhere, or some arena somewhere. Hallelujah. We don't want to confine the Holy Ghost. We want to let Him loose in all the earth to demonstrate through the Church of Jesus Christ the glory. And Father, we're just so thankful for the wonderful covenant that you've given us. And Lord God, today we come again as to confirm that wonderful covenant that we claim is ours, that it belongs to us. Because, Lord God, not because we did anything to great to earn it, because we've accomplished any deeds. Lord God, we just look at what Jesus did by faith, and we humbly accept what He did for us. He accomplished all these things. He's the one that took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He's the one that took every sin and all the anguish of our life upon Himself, and He defeated Satan and was raised from the dead for our justification. And we stand before you today as a justified people. Not by our works, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Justified in your presence to ask anything according to your will. And you will do it for us. Hallelujah. Father, we don't bring up any deeds. We don't bring up anything, or anything that we would talk about would be earning or anything. Lord God, we didn't earn none of it. We weren't redeemed from the curse of the law because we did anything good. I was redeemed by the curse of the law before I was ever born again. Jesus already did it. So Father, all we're doing is we're just accepting what is done. We're claiming it as ours. Because Lord God, through faith in Jesus, that's what makes you, Father God, that you love when we operate in faith. And just believe what your word says. We're pleasing you today by believing that the works of Jesus Christ belong to us. And as we take these elements, Lord God, we receive them by faith, Lord God. We are declaring ourselves one with the Lord Jesus Christ, one with His death, one with His burial, one with His resurrection, one with Him seated at the throne today. Hallelujah. And we take our place today. We're one with His blood. It's just as if our blood was spilt, but His glorious blood was spilt. And we're one with that blood, one with the body and one with the blood. And we thank You for today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to ask you this. Just something's come up in my spirit, and I want to follow that. Don't get on the thing and say, well, I don't want to admit anything. What I want you to do, if you have an area that you're standing in faith for concerning healing, that you've been standing for, you might be perfectly standing where you're at. But what I want you to do is I want you to stand to your feet. If anybody, you're standing in a certain area in your life and you're believing, I want you to stand for your feet, on your feet. There's a certain thing that you're believing God for. Certain thing that you want. Now, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me concerning something about this, because people believe in God. As I talked before and I said about the fact, sometimes people are believing the right thing. They might be saying the right thing. In heading a direction, sometimes people might believe the right things and not saying the right thing. But you may be doing that. So there's one thing is I learned, years ago, and you heard me talk about it, because I got over into things when I learned about what to do. Now, one of the things that we want to do, there are certain things sometimes you run into faith in life, and basically we believe God, just make a confession. Some things sometimes you can't do more than make a confession about certain things. You can't, there's nothing to do, but sometimes there is something that you need to do. And this is what the Lord said to me about. Here's in the areas of asking God wisdom. Is there something that I need to do? Is there something, I'm standing in faith, but is there something that I need to do? Now, I've learned this over the years, the power of actions. In fact, I had the Lord a few years ago. Well, that's probably been my time goes so fast. Sometimes I think something was a couple years ago and it turns out it's 10. This is probably about 5 years ago. The Lord spoke to me about the power of my actions, of learning the power of actions. And He equated, He said, talked about the working of miracles, and He said, sometimes in your actions, the reason you've seen so many instantaneous things happen is because of my actions that I do. See, actions are a powerful, powerful thing. Words can be in themselves a pretty weak thing sometimes, or they can be a very powerful thing. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, some of you need wisdom of what to do. You need wisdom about what to do, because you might have an action or something you need to do. Or maybe you just need the confirmation just to stand where you're at. Maybe you need that. That's your wisdom. Because sometimes you can overthink, man, I've done all I know to do. Well, sometimes that's all. You've done what you know to do. You need to stay. But you need that confirmation of that wisdom of you, in you, to know where you're at. See, faith is no good if you're running in questions. And you keep wondering. No, you want to be able to go to that place where you're at rest. I know I got it. I know I have it. I know it's mine. I know it belongs to me, and that's where you want to be. Because there's always things that pop up, You're over here believing God, and the next thing you know about your foot, and the next day morning you wake up and your foot feels worse than it did the day before. Well, you get questions will start running in your mind. You have to know that where you're standing at. Faith is about a security that I know. Yeah, I know this is wrong and my head's having a hard time, but my inner man, I know on the inside of me, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know that. So you want to know that on the inside, because you want that to rule and reign. Because things in life, the devil and sometimes people want to move you off of that place. They want to point out your faults and your this and that and the other thing. But you want to know that place. That's where He wants you at, where you know. If there's something you need to know, He'll give you wisdom. If you just need a confirmation of where you're at and what you're doing, is what you're doing, just stand. Then just stand. So I want you to know that I'm going to pray for you today. See, the Bible says we lack wisdom. See, wisdom ain't just for doing things. I asked the Lord for wisdom. He showed me how to bring a thing over. But many times in our areas of faith, we need wisdom in certain things of what to do. Where I'm at in my faith. I've learned that over the years. Lord, do I need to do something beyond this? I want to know. If I'm missing it in any area, I want to know. Why? Because I want to walk. Understand this. He's always on your side. We ask. He said, God gives liberally. Wisdom comes liberally. It's not withheld. He's not, well, you don't understand. I messed up. Well, join the club. Get over it. We've all missed it at times. But God gives wisdom. He wants you to be able to stand securely where you're at. He desires, his greatest desires, like he told me, number one thing I want for my people, I want them to be well. Jesus don't want us to live like he died in vain. Hallelujah. He don't want us to live like, glory to God. See, you can say, no matter what's going on, and say, man, don't seem to be working. Yeah, it's working. Jesus, it has to work. Jesus is in this thing. Jesus is working in this. It has to be working. It's got to be working. Jesus ain't into fruitless works. Hallelujah. He healed me. It is so. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you right now. Father, of your great interest in loving your people. Hallelujah. And Father, I do. I'm settled in my heart what you told me was true concerning the healing of your people. How much you want your people well. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. Lord, we know that there's the principles of faith and patience. You inherit the promise. But Lord God, Lord, we have no desire, and I don't believe you have a desire that sickness just linger and linger and linger. I do not believe that's your desire. Lord, we might go through some things and sometimes we don't wonder why, but Lord God, our faith is working. Our faith is zeroed in on you. Lord God, there's one thing as I know is we ain't healers. We don't heal ourselves. We don't heal anybody. Lord God, it's your work through us, and we know this, that you went to the cross for us. You died and was raised from the dead so we could be healed. Lord God, when you took sin, our sin, you took the consequences of sin also. And I want to thank you. Sickness and disease is never a pleasure. We never look at it as any kind of good thing. It is a curse. And Lord God, you redeemed us. And Lord God, Lord, these are your people and your love for them. And your hand is reached out fully to them today in the name of Jesus. Your love is reaching out fully today in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, because you said if we lack wisdom, we ask you, we get it liberally. That's the words you gave us in the book. And the word's Jesus. So Jesus, we can say, you said this to, you put it in the book. And Jesus, you can't lie. And if we lack wisdom, we'd ask you, giving it liberally. I thank you today that if there's anything that one of these persons, anyone of them needs something to know to do or something that you're trying to get across to them. Today, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus that wisdom is coming to them. Lord God, I realize it may come sometimes in different ways. Sometimes a person will bring it. Sometimes they'll hear a message or something and they'll read something and they'll see. But that wisdom's going to come to them. It might just rise up in their spirit and all of a sudden they just know what to do. And Lord God, I want to thank you that that's coming to them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, there's ones that I just know this. They're standing like they should. But Lord, I want you to just confirm their faith to them. Confirm it within them, Lord God, that they know that they're settled in their heart where they're standing. Hallelujah. They have a surety, Lord God. Lord, that they are at rest. Hallelujah. That what they have confessed and believe, it is theirs. You've given it to them. Hallelujah. And it will manifest. Hallelujah. That's your job, the manifestation. That's your job. Hallelujah. We believe and you manifest. You manifest it. So we thank you. It's being manifested. Hallelujah. It's a working in them. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of them. Making alive their bodies right now. Their bodies are on the amend. Everybody's body is on the amend according to Scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We give you praise and glory. Lord, it don't matter what we seem to feel or think. It is a working. It is working. It is working. It is working, hallelujah, because you can't lie. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.